ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
November 5th, 2009, Abu Dhabi, House Prophet. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Verse 25. This is a very famous sloka. Vipada Shantuta Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagadaguru Bhavato Darshanamaya Syat Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Kunti Devi. Prabhupada's translation. I wished all these calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated birth and death. Prabhupada's purport. Generally, the distressed, the needy, the intelligent, the inquisitive, who have performed some pious activities, worship or begin to worship the Lord. Others who are thriving on misdeeds only, regardless of status, cannot approach the Supreme Lord due to being misled by the illusory energy. Therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no other alternative than to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means preparing for liberation from birth and death. Therefore, even though there are so-called calamities, they're welcome, because if they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation, one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nations, can achieve liberation as easy as one leaps over the holes made by the hoofs of a calf. Such persons are meant to reside in the abode of the Lord. They have nothing to do with a place where there's danger at every step. This material world is certified by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Less intelligent persons prepare pants to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is itself full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without trace of calamity. The duty of the same person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realization, because that is the mission of human life. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, so-called calamities are called false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream. He may cry for this calamity. Actually, there is no tiger. There is no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. The same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it's all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. Vibhada shantuta shoshra tatra tatra jagad guru bhavata darshanam yasyad apunar bhavadarshanam. This verse is highly quoted by devotees and contemplated a lot. But it does not affect you unless you experience something. Some different. The truth of this shloka, everything in Bhagavatam is true, but when it happens to you, you believe it more. So that's the idea. We should see everything to be the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He will do whatever it takes to bring his devotee to his lotus feet. And we therefore, we should appreciate it, whatever happens. for the devotee that is dependent on Krishna, Krishna comes in the heart to remind him that when they become Manishina, when they become thoughtful, then Krishna will come in the heart and say, I've orchestrated this. Accept it. There is always so many different ways to look at some situation. It is more than the external. Because the externals is exactly that. Only of a limited time, limited place, limited circumstances. And it is some karma. You have some misfortune. And usually it is beyond your means to counteract it. The tendency of human existence is sankalpa and vikalpa. Tatakarma sankalpa vikalpa namana, as Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 2, verse 28 says, it's the nature of the mind to try to balance it by accepting and rejecting. Make some adjustment. Block it out. Oh, some calamity has come. Dodge it. Make another arrangement. Block it out so it doesn't affect you. But the effect is still there. When the effect happens, an untoward, unpalatable activity, when it happens, you have to see it from another angle. That is a devotee. We have to see that, could Krishna be desiring this? Could Krishna be planning this for my purification? What can I learn from this experience going forward in Krishna's service? That's the point. Go forward. Not that we should remain stuck in our present way of thinking, stuck in our present way of doing something. We should go forward. Anything that pushes us to go forward, to love Krishna more, to become further detached from the body. Specifically, there's nothing like a calamity to make us understand you are not this body. You cannot control your situation. Because look, the calamity has come. And you have no choice now but to accept it. It's like, I remember discussing this with some sannyasi friends of mine, born in Jewish background. So I remember reading about some joint calamity that race had. Oh, everyone knows about it. They heard it to some degree or other. 60 years ago, they were persecuted. Almost 5-6 million of them killed. So, they all know about it. Propaganda is like that. But those who actually went through it, it is just like yesterday. They can't forget it. Seared in their brain. And for many of them, they just went through with it. They lost their parents. They lost their brothers. They lost their spouse. And now, 60 years later, it's just your grandmother, your grandfather. They were killed. Like that. By a state machine. And the children were left orphaned. And they survived somehow or other by the will of God, and they just kept on going. So it's a very interesting thing And they described about some people just resigned to the fate. They let their bodies be killed. Or they just accepted it because it was just what they had to do. There was no way they could escape from the calamity. So it's very interesting to hear, see it from their perspective, their suffering from their perspective. Very interesting. So I asked these two Vaishnavas from Jewish background. They were born in that situation. And they're Vaishnavas. Help me understand it from both perspectives. From a member of that community, which you were born in, and from a Vaishnava perspective, how we're supposed to see it. Karma. You know, it's called collective karma. When a whole group is penalized for some sinful activity done, unbeknownst to you, it's a cumulative karma by a group. And so I asked them straight, could that suffering of an entire community, wherein 6 million people were killed, could that be considered as an example of joint karma? And they looked at me and they said, unquestionable. It is joint karma. Yes. Joint karma. Unquestionable, they said. Yeah, it was joint karma. They're detached because they're attached to Krishna. It doesn't bother them. At the same time, these devotees are steeled. Anything can be thrown at them. And they just simply smile and say, if Krishna wants it to happen, I will accept it. There's a joke that when God gives you lemons, you make lemonade and give it to Krishna. So we can say that, we can throw that off our tongue, but when it happens to you, you better be prepared to become introspective. Could Krishna be wanting me to go through this for my purification? So I become more attached to him? That's the point. And if so, like Kunti Devi says, our business is to become attached to Krishna, this way or that way. If Krishna puts us in adversity so that it becomes more heightened, attachment to Krishna becomes more heightened, then let it come. Let it come. Now, look at it from another perspective. She is a Kshatriya lady. They were managers. They were community managers interested in the welfare of the community where they lived. No one engaged in management will ask for trouble. Because they're managing other people's trouble. They're trying to help them go beyond the trouble by adjusting. We'll help you adjust your trouble so that you become happier. That's the nature of management, to try to make the other parties feel better. But she's asking for calamities again and again. I'm ready to take troubles again and again. Will anybody ask for that? No person in their right mind will ask for that. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? You're asking for trouble again and again? No manager will ask that. How is that sound management policy? But she took it a whole nother level by saying, whenever we're in trouble, we have to force to think of Krishna. And if we think of Krishna, there's no birth and death. So whatever helps us to think of Krishna, let it come. Only a Vaishnavi or a Vaishnava could say like that. We have to give It is an amazing realization. No one asks for trouble. Yet she's saying, we'll think of Krishna and go forward. Nothing will bother us. Because she suffered so much as a mother. She saw her sons suffer so much. And they just went through it and became victorious because they depended on Krishna. Because they depended on Krishna, therefore there was victory. Nothing happens to a devotee unless it is the will of Krishna. And Krishna will help that devotee become victorious in the end by smarana, by thinking of him. And he says so in Gita 18:58, that Chaitasa Sarvadurgani Mutaprasada Tarasyasi Atachetvam Ahankaran Nashoshasi Vinakshasi. If you will think of me, you will cross over all difficulties by my grace. But if you don't, we'll finish you. It's interesting. Just like my godbrother, when I was a young boy, 17 years old, like that. One definition of Krishna's name is Adhokshaja, which is translated as infallible. One translation he gave was the Lord of the infallible way. He does something and it is indefatigable. You cannot get around it. You must accept it. That is indefatigable. It will relentlessly push forward and you have no other way but to accept it. Therefore, you might as well smile and accept it. You have no other way. What is the use of complaining about it? What is the use of being bitter about it? Why is God doing this to me? Why? I'm staying with devotees and I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Life should be better. Why? Me. Because we need it, that's why. We're becoming lax, complacent. You need a shock. We're going to tip your world on its head. And you're going to have no other way but to accept it. It's purifying. It's great. When you're going through hell, nobody says it's great. When you're forced to, then you see from so many different perspectives and you can laugh in the face of death. Or in the face of the calamity, you start to laugh that we're getting shelter in an indirect way. The word Durgachati, Iti Durga, is very interesting. She is a very, very intense lady. Very intense. And you cannot get over her. She has got 10 arms. Every one of them has a weapon. You're outnumbered. There's nothing you can do. She is so powerful. But mamevaye prapadyante, when you surrender to Krishna, maya metam tarantite, you can cross. Can't we see that that is happening? That Krishna uses his illusory energy to give it to you in such a way, like a medicine, by which you are able to cross.